We are on week three of Lord, Teach Us to Pray. By way of introduction, and please do not raise your hand and don't make eye contact with anybody. Do you know anybody, or have you ever met somebody who was stuck in the past? Okay, stuck. Don't point or anything. We'll just leave that alone. I just want you to be reflective on that. Have you ever known someone who was stuck in the past? Maybe their taste in music is a little dated, and every time you want to talk music with this person, it's just like, oh, that new stuff just sucks, and it's the old stuff, the 80s, that was the best time, or whatever. And everyone who is a big music guru just argues about this all the time. Nobody can agree. Maybe you know someone who at work, who remembers the quote-unquote good old days at work when so-and-so worked and they did the craziest things and we just had more money than we knew what to do with, and you know, it's not as good now. And right, we get so caught up in the past. We are such creatures of habit, which was kind of the interesting thing with this shift of setup of where's everyone going to sit? I've taken away some of your tables. I have rearranged things. Where is everyone going to go? And everyone still found their spot. So that's good. I'm glad. But have you ever known someone who's stuck in the past? And I've noticed, as I've been in ministry for a long time, we'll just leave it at that, the church has a really bad habit of getting stuck in the past. Right, we remember our old church and everything was always good. We remember it through rose-colored lenses that, you know, we're just always growing. There's always new people coming, and the old ways were better. It was better when we only sang hymns. Well, there's a lot of churches right now. I sit on our executive. There's a lot of churches right now who only ever sing hymns and can't figure out why the music isn't connecting with their young people. There's a lot of churches that still preach out of the King James Version. If you don't know what that is, it's like it takes you back to the days of studying Shakespeare, the old 1611 English and thys and thous, and they can't figure out why people aren't engaging with the Word because it's hard to understand. You need like very high reading capability to be able to read Old English in that capacity. And the Bible's hard enough to understand, let alone having to change the language. We get so often caught up in the old ways. And I want to be clear, there's nothing wrong with the old ways. There's nothing wrong, there's nothing wrong if you like the King James Version. There's things wrong with the King James Version. I won't hide that. But if that's the version of Scripture that you connect with, that you just, God's Word comes alive, there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with the hymns. There's a depth and a theological richness that is found in the hymns that sometimes modern worship kind of loses. There's nothing wrong with it. But the reality is that the church moves forward, and God's kingdom needs to move forward because God is moving forward. Culture changes, language changes, everything is changing, and if the church doesn't change with it, we get stuck in the past and we start to become irrelevant. And so every morning, all series long, we're going to read realize maybe that nobody could see me online. We're going to read the Lord's Prayer as it is presented in the New Living Translation because we need to update our language. Imagine trying to teach a new person how to pray, and you're talking just as I am talking now, and suddenly when you want to teach them how to pray, you switch to speaking in 1611 English. What just happened? Why are we saying thous and thys? And I know people who still pray like that, and that's fine, but it's like, why does we have to communicate with God as if he's Shakespeare, and then as soon as we're done praying, go back to speaking normal? So this morning, we're going to say the Lord's Prayer. You are going to say it as it appears on the screen. Hint, hint, wink, wink. And then we'll dive into the second. And I want to say, again, there's nothing wrong with the old way. But the reason, and what we're going to do this morning is I'm going to hold the old way of saying it and the new way side by side. Because there's strengths in both. But there's something that is lost if we don't update and see, because as we get, as time moves along, we get smarter, we get better at translating, and we're able to draw out things that originally we missed because we understand Greek and Hebrew and Latin and all these words, languages better so that we can translate it better. So that's what we're going to do this morning. Old way, new way, compare them, see the strength of both, and then we'll go from there. So we will read it as it appears on the screen, nice and slow, all together. Matthew 6, starting in verse 9. Pray like this: Our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come soon. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today the food we need, and forgive us our sins as we have forgiven those who sin against us. And don't let us yield to temptation, but rescue us from the evil one. So the way that many of you probably learned the Lord's Prayer is the second line looks like this: Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And as I said earlier, there's absolutely nothing wrong with this translation. But as you read this, it reads as a declaration, as a statement: Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And this serves as a fantastic reminder for us as believers. The truth is, God's kingdom is coming. And we can see the signs of it. Jesus was very intentional about laying it out for the disciples and saying, look, here's the signs of the times. So here we go, Matthew 24, starting in verse 4. This is what it says. Jesus told them, don't let anyone mislead you, for many will come in my name, claiming I am the Messiah. They will deceive many, and you will hear of wars and threats of wars, but don't panic. Yes, these things must take place, but the end won't follow immediately. Let me unpack what Jesus just said there. There will be wars and threats of wars. Since 1945, the conclusion of World War II, do you know how many days the earth has been at peace? And when I say that, I mean there wasn't a war being fought somewhere on the planet. Do you know how many days? 26. In 80 years of human existence and all of our advancements, 26 days where there wasn't a war being fought somewhere. Jesus says, at the end of the times, there will be wars and threats of wars. Ding, 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 ding. Check mark number one. Go around. Nation will go to war against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines. Do you know how many people die of starvation every year? The latest stat right now, 9 million people a year die of either starvation or starvation-related illness. 9 million people. And obviously this is felt mostly in third world countries, but not exclusively. There's starvation and famine that hits everywhere. 9 million. Let that number sink in. And then you read this. Jesus said there will be famines. There is a famine that is happening perpetually every year. And earthquakes in many parts of the world. In 1978, a geological survey of the tectonic plates of the earth was done. If you don't know what the plates are, the big land masses that our earth sits on. And in 1978, they discovered that the plates were moving in such a way that there was going to be more frequent and more intense earthquakes from that moment on than at any time in all of history. Since 1978, there have been more earthquakes and like devastating nation-rocking earthquakes than at any time in all of history. And Jesus says, be warned, earthquakes will come. And this is one of the signs of the time. Check. But he says this, all this is only the first of the birth pains with more to come. Oh, goody. This is just the beginning, he says. As a believer, as we see the news and as we hear things that are happening, we should be taking note, because these are the very things Jesus said was going to happen when the end will come. And I was contemplating how much I want to go into this, and I've concluded that we're going to do an end time study or series here at the church. I don't know what it's going to look like. Everything else I had planned will probably go on hold, unless nobody wants that. Nobody, no, any interest in me talking about what the end's going to look like? So if you're not, a little bit of giggling. Okay, we'll see. I think I'll do it whether you want it or not. The end is coming. And so Jesus teaches, so in the old way of us saying this, thy kingdom come, it wasn't a request, it was a declaration. It was a reminder that the kingdom of God is coming. Thy will be done. That there's no amount of power or strength or ability within humanity that will prevent the will of God from being accomplished. And this is what Revelation is. We read Revelation, John gets this glimpse into what the end of the world looks like. Because our God, who exists outside of time, sees the beginning and end, and it's all happening at once before him. He sees creation and the end of the world as if, as clearly as you see me right now. And so John gets just a glimpse of what God sees perpetually. God's will is going to be accomplished. We can't stop that. And it's a good reminder for us as believers that no matter what's going on, no matter how stressful things may be, God's will be accomplished. And God's will is good and pleasing and perfect. And that we need to keep those two truths in front of us. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. But then we need to remember, as we're going through this, that we are not learning a creed from Jesus. Jesus is teaching us to pray. And so when we pray, we don't tell God what he already knows, because God knows everything. We don't stand before him and make declarations. We come to him with the intent of connection. And so this is where the New Living really shows its strength. So instead, it says, may your kingdom come soon. And let's be real. With all that is going on in the world, can we agree that we would really like God's kingdom to get here sooner rather than later? Because God's kingdom arriving in its fullness means that there's no more sin, no more death, no more sickness, no more corruption, no more nothing. Everything that is wrong with this world will melt away under the heat of the fires of God's judgment, and we'll be left with a new heaven and a new earth. And all God's people said, amen. God, let that come soon. Do not delay in making that happen, because there's something very wrong with this world and you need to fix it. This is what Peter was capturing in chapter 3 of his second letter. He says this in verse 10, but the day of the Lord will come as unexpectedly as a thief. Then the heavens will pass away with terrible noise, and the very elements themselves will disappear in fire, and the earth and everything on it will be found to deserve judgment. Since everything around us is going to be destroyed like this, what holy, godly lives you should live. Looking forward to the day of God and hurrying it along. If you're following along on the app, I highlighted that part because we're going to come back to it. Looking forward to the day of God and hurrying it along. On that day, he will set the heavens on fire and the elements will melt away in the flames. But we are looking forward to the new heavens and new earth he has promised, a world filled with God's righteousness. Amen. Hallelujah. Bring it, Lord. And so, dear friends, while you're waiting for these things to happen, make every effort to be found living peaceful lives that are pure and blameless in his sight. Ooh. And remember, our Lord's patience gives people time to be saved. This is what our beloved Paul, Brother Paul, also wrote to you with the wisdom God gave him. I want to come back to verse 12 there. Looking forward to the day of God and hurrying it along. What is Peter saying? Peter is not saying that we just look forward to the day of God and just hope that it comes. That we actually play a part in making it a reality. Because we talked about this last year when we were studying prayer, that God in his infinite wisdom and power is able to do everything he wants whenever he wants, but he has chosen to let his people be a part of it. And the way we get to be a part of it, and the way we hurry along the day of the Lord, is by doing two things. One, praying as God taught us, praying the way Jesus taught us. May your kingdom come soon. God, let it come. And number two, by sharing your faith, by sharing Jesus' love with your neighbors and with your friends. Because this is what Jesus says in Matthew 24, later on in that chapter we read earlier. The good news about the kingdom will be preached throughout where? The whole world, so that all nations will hear it, and then the end will come. The good news of the kingdom will be preached to the whole world, and then the end will come, which shouldn't surprise us because it's the very thing Jesus says in the Great Commission. Therefore, go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always to the end of the age. You do not sit back and wait for it to come. You and I actually play an active part in hurrying the kingdom along by doing what Jesus told us to do as he ascended. Go and make disciples. Go and be my witnesses, he says in Acts. And when the word has been spread through the whole world, then the end will come. What does that mean? We'll get into that later. That's not today's. God, may your kingdom come. May your will be done. And here is the thing that I think we need to be reminded of. God's will does not have to be a mystery. We so often pray, oh God, may your will be done, as if it is some distant thing that cannot be known, and we just hope it works out in our favor. But we read this in almost forgetting the part we just prayed. How does the Lord's Prayer start? Our Father. Our Father. We have a closeness, a relationship with God that is unmatched in all of history. So why do we think that we can have this close relationship with him, but he has kept his will a secret from us? This is not the case. God wants you to know his will. He has revealed. In fact, Scripture says this, 1 Thessalonians, be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. This is God. Scripture makes these definitive statements that the will of God can be known. This is God's will, that you will be thankful in all circumstances. 1 Peter 2:15. It is God's will that your honorable lives should silence those ignorant people who make foolish accusations against you. It is not a mystery. You can know the will of the Father. Which brings me to one of my favorite passages, because it always kicks me in the butt as a good reminder, and I share it with you in light of that. Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. So, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into the new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good, pleasing, and perfect. Don't copy the ways of the world, but let God transform your heart, let God transform your mind, and then you can know the good, pleasing and perfect will of God. And this is the reality. This is the truth that you are faced with this morning, church. There are two types of people in this world. There are those that pursue their own will, pursue their own way, and there are those that come in alignment with God's purpose and pursue His will. And the question is, which one are you? Because here's the reality. God is terrifyingly fair. I found it. I read it. It was awesome. I'm sharing it with you. God is terrifyingly fair. And this is what it means. If you want your will, if you want your way, you want to build your kingdom, God will let you go. He won't be happy about it. But if you want your way, you want your will, God's going to let you have it. But the reality is that if you choose this path, then you have no one to blame for the outcome but yourself. You want your way, God's going to let you have it. On the flip side, if you choose to do things God's way, pursue God's will, it may be uncomfortable. It may cause some struggle. But you are investing your life, your plan, and all that He has entrusted to you into something that is eternal, that will not pass away. You go your way, it's going to melt away. We just read it. With the elements, with the earth. When everything is destroyed, everything that you have put your life into, your way is going to go with it. But if you go in God's way, God's kingdom is eternal, everlasting, and all that you have built will last through the judgment, through the persecution, through it all. So when we pray, may your kingdom come soon. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It is not asking God, it's not just asking God that He will do what He's already said He's going to do. It is an invitation for us to be a part of it. God, may your kingdom come, may your will be done, and may I be a willing participant in making it a reality. So which one are you? Are you pursuing your will or are you pursuing God's? And only you can answer that question. Heavenly Father, invite you, Holy Spirit, into this place, that you would search our hearts and our minds, and that you would reveal to us the ways in which we are pursuing our own kingdom. And God, I pray that you would restore our mind, that you would restore our heart. God, that you would renew it in such a way that we come into alignment with your will, with your kingdom. Father, not that we have to give up our ambitions and our dreams, but that we lay them at your feet. And Father, you replace them with something better. You replace it with something eternal and blessed. And God, whatever it is that we want, it will pale in comparison to things that you want to do in our lives. May your kingdom come, Father. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God, may your kingdom come soon. May we keep our eyes on it. May we hurry it along. And as your church, may we not shy away from it, but embrace this great and awesome privilege we have in making and seeing our world become all that it was meant to be. Holy Spirit, speak to us as we discuss and pray for one another. Give you all our thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Alrighty, as always, if you have time, we can discuss. The questions will be on the screen. They're also on the app if you want a few more. If you have to run, God bless. Thanks for coming. We'll see you Wednesday. But if you can, please stick around and go through the discussion questions.